I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. Shelby County Emergency Management Coordinator Alex Londo reports that FEMA will be opening a disaster recovery center for people to apply for assistance in Shelby County. They will be in Harlan at the Harlan Fire Department, located at 906 Cyclone Avenue, on Monday, April 29th through Wednesday, May 1st. The hours will be Monday, noon to 7 p.m., and 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday. FEMA representatives will then be in Shelby at the Shelby Community Building, located at 500 East Street, on Thursday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 4th. Hours of operation will be Thursday from noon to 7 and 9 to 7 on Friday and Saturday. FEMA personnel will then follow the same schedule the following week at both locations. There is no need to set up an appointment time. Just come in and register if you have been affected by flooding in Shelby County. Sheriff's officials in Mills County report the arrest at around 12:25 a.m. Thursday of a Council Bluffs man and woman. 38-year-old Brian James Regenscheid was arrested in the area of 221st Street and Highway 34 on two counts of possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. His bond was set at $2,600. At the same place and time, 27-year-old Angel Marie Schley was arrested for forgery and theft in the fifth degree. Her bond was set at $5,300. Wednesday night, 30-year-old Amanda Corrine Elrod of Glenwood was arrested at 6th and North Vine Streets in Glenwood for driving under suspension and having no SR-22 insurance. Bond was set at $1,300. One person was transported by a medevac ambulance to the Cass County Memorial Hospital following an accident early Friday afternoon at 8th and Walnut Streets in Atlantic. The collision happened around 12:45 p.m. Atlantic Police Chief Dave Erickson said an initial investigation determined that a Harley-Davidson Sportster motorcycle was traveling southbound on Walnut Street and approaching the intersection. A yellow passenger car was traveling west on 8th Street. Erickson says it appears a female driver of the car failed to yield. The driver of the cycle tried to avoid the collision and laid the cycle on its side. In the process, the bike apparently clipped the rear passenger side of the car. The male driver of the motorcycle suffered minor injuries. And Erickson said it's the season people need to watch out for motorcycles because there's sand out there and everything else. It's just not a good thing. And with the nice weather, he said kids will be out on their bicycles too, so people need to be more aware so that nobody ends up getting seriously hurt or killed. The names of the motorcycle and car driver were not immediately released. Gene Geddes, Harlan City Administrator, has announced that effective on Friday afternoon, Industrial Parkway in Harlan is closed for repair. The roadway that runs between Concerned Incorporated and Van Dyce Supply is expected to be closed up to a week while repairs are completed. They apologize for any inconvenience that may cause. And in other area news, in the closing hours of the 2019 legislative session, that Republicans in the Iowa House have scaled back on their plan to change the commission that nominates Iowa Supreme Court justices and members of the Iowa Court of Appeals. Representative Stephen Holt of Denison has been the House GOP's point person on the negotiations. He said that, "I think our initial proposal was very good, but we did not have the support to get here. Under this new plan, the senior judge on the Iowa Supreme Court will no longer be part of the commission, and the governor will appoint 8 rather than 9 commissioners. Unlike the original plan, attorneys will still elect the 8 other commission members. Perhaps the most significant change will require Iowa Supreme Court justices to vote every 2 years to determine who among them will be Chief Justice. Current Chief Justice Mark Cady was elected in 2011 and under current practice would serve as chief until he retires." Holt says there can be a big difference in the court between when somebody was elected 7 or 8 years ago. The members of the Supreme Court ought to have as their leadership somebody that reflects their current priorities and views, just like we have here in every 2 years. House Democratic Leader Todd Pritchard of Charles City says these proposals are unconstitutional. He said, "I do think the legislature should be involved, nor does the legislature have the authority to decide how the Chief Justice is picked," Pritchard says. Pritchard, who's an attorney, says Democrats oppose any change to the commission that reviews applicants and nominates a slate of judges to the governor. The courts are a model for the country. They are prized for their nonpartisanship," Pritchard said. "This is definitely politicizing our courts. This is not the direction the state of Iowa wants to go." There were other key policy developments Friday as lawmakers considered state budget plans. Republicans are moving toward canceling government contracts with Planned Parenthood for sex education classes. And the Representative Sandy Salmon, a Republican from Janesville, said that organization has a different goal in mind. Their business interests are totally the opposite of the state's interests. And Senator Liz Mathis, a Democrat from Cedar Rapids, says Planned Parenthood sex ed classes for at-risk teens help prevent pregnancies. She said, "You shut your minds off to whatever good they have done in your communities. You hear the words Planned Parenthood and you think evil." Republicans in the legislature also plan to prohibit the state's Medicaid program from covering gender reassignment surgery. Senator Mark Costello, a Republican from Imogene, says most Iowans consider it an elective rather than a medically necessary procedure. He said, "I don't think most taxpayers want to pay for this type of surgery." A coalition of groups held a Friday afternoon rally at the State House to voice their opposition to the plan. Alexander Gray of Des Moines, a transgender woman, says the proposal is frightening. He said, "We don't do this because it's a joke. We don't do this because it's cosmetic. Hear us, see us." Yeah, the Senate took votes on 9 bills on Friday and will reconvene today at 9 a.m. The House voted on 3 bills, but Democrats spent much of the day in private meetings to review and discuss the new GOP plans. At around 12:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, the House adjourned, planning to reconvene at 8 a.m. for what could be the final day of the 2019 legislative session. The deadline is approaching for you to appeal if you got a new assessment on your home that you think is too high. Iowa Association of Realtors President John Godey says there's a place that you can get help.
Someone is interested in protesting their assessment, they should call their favorite real estate agent.
He says calling your agent to help get help with your assessment. He says the real estate agent can help you research comparables.
They're a professional. They're the pro. They're the expert in your area. And they will be glad to help get some comparables to help you with your presentation to the Board of Adjustment.
The appeals have to be into the county by April 30th. The Spring National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day is today. The director of the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy, Dale Woolery, says federal officials thought a couple of the events might get rid of all the unused prescription drugs, but they found out that was not enough.
Yeah, the need continues. In Iowa, the last year for which we have information, I think there were about a quarter of a billion doses of controlled prescription drugs dispensed, and the controlled prescription medicines are just a fraction of all prescription medicines.
He says this is a chance for everyone to make a difference in preventing drug abuse.
Some of it, if left around, if misused or abused, can be problematic, up to and including, tragically, overdose death from opioids.
Woolery encourages you to search through your medicine cabinet and other areas for unused prescription drugs. He says you can turn in any type of drug.
What they do not want to have to deal with are sharps or essentially illegal substances. So anything that would be totally illegal, like marijuana or heroin, those types of things, it's not designed for that, nor is it designed for the needles.
Woolery says it has gotten easier to drop off the drugs as more sites have been added through the years.
We'll probably have close to 100 if it's like past collections. We also have about 240 permanent or year-round prescription drug take-back receptacles around the state. There's at least one in every county, and I think it's more than that now. That's grown tremendously. About half of those are in local law enforcement centers. The other half may be more convenient. They're located in pharmacies.
The unneeded drugs are taken away by federal officials.
All of the medications that are collected as part of the take-back program are eventually incinerated somewhere, I think, in Texas. But the DEA collects that, and it gets incinerated. That's for where most of it goes.
He says some pharmacies have contracts with companies to get rid of the drugs dropped off at their facilities. The take-back runs from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. You can find a nearby collection to drop off your unused prescription drugs at DEATakeback.com or by calling 1-800-882-9539. And officials with the Iowa Transportation Commission will tour Southwest Iowa on Tuesday. The commission and Iowa Department of Transportation staff will review sections of state highway that have been damaged due to flooding and ongoing transportation system recovery activities. Transportation-related matters may be discussed, but no action will be taken on the tour. That's a look at news. Now in your funeral announcements this morning, Nicholas Joseph Gross, age 54, of Glenwood, died January 23rd at Methodist Genium. It's in hospital in Council Bluffs. Mass of Christian Burial for Nicholas Gross will be held today at 11 a.m. at the St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mary Elnor Nouse, age 93, of Guthrie Center, died January 31st at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. A memorial mass for Elnor Nouse will be held today at 11 a.m. at the St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home Guthrie Center has arrangements. Carmen Regals, age 76, of Marnie, died April 7th at home. Funeral services for Carmen Regals will be held today at 1 p.m. at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home has arrangements. Todd Ebel, age 51, of Bridgewater, died Monday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital in Greenfield. Celebration of life services for Todd Ebel will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Abby Ward, age 57, of Lewis, died April 17th in rural Atlantic. Funeral services for Abby Ward will be held on Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Larry Wales, age 76, of Boone, died Tuesday at home. Per his wishes, Larry was cremated. A memorial service for Larry Wells will be held on Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Marion Street United Methodist Church in Boone. The Schrader Reimers Memorial Chapel in Boone has the arrangements. Twyla Tipling, age 77, of Fontenelle, died Thursday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. Celebration of life services for Twyla Tipling will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home Fontenelle has arrangements. Jaquetta M. Barclay, age 88, of West Des Moines, a 1948 Wyota High School graduate, died Wednesday at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. A mass of Christian burial for Jaquetta M. Barclay will be held Saturday, May 4th at 11 a.m. at the St. Teresa Catholic Church in Des Moines. Isles Westover Funeral Home has the arrangements. And Norma Winders, age 92, of Greenfield, died Friday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Norma Winders are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.